I got bribed to make a video exposing a single Counter-Strike casino, but I decided to expose the whole industry instead, which led us from pitchforks to people rushing stages, millionaires making excuses, and esports teams who say they can't survive without gambling. The lack of any accountability making me wonder about the biggest casino of them all, Valve, the owner of Counter-Strike. Now, if you've watched the last few episodes, you know there's a lot of opinions about what the problem is, who's the villain, who's the good guy. Hardly anyone agrees on anything. But I did find one thing that nearly everyone agrees on.
I started gambling on Counter-Strike when I was probably 13 years old.
I think I was 14.
Valve definitely does have an underage gambling problem.
I think Valve does have an underage gambling problem.
Yes, it is underage gambling disguised because it holds real life value.
Underage, middle age, overage, however you want to slice it.
When I was young, that's the most easily influential age to get people in, because I can't go to a real casino and gamble.
Like what I did back then was I went to our local video game store, bought like $20 worth of Steam credits. I would buy skins with those $20 credits, no verification at all.
Right, this is the most consistent answer I've received in a story where no one agrees on anything. Underage gambling is rampant on Counter-Strike. Not only that, Valve has known this was a problem for at least 8 years. And for those 8 years, Valve has done things here and there, but they've never seriously tackled offshore gambling issues, with some speculating the reasons why.
I think they have all the responsibility. I mean, you could pass me some of that if you want. But ultimately, they're the kingpin, reaping in all of the money, or majority of the money. And there's a reason why they haven't killed it yet. They've possessed the power for all these years, but they allow it to go. And I feel like they do the bare minimum crackdown to allow it to keep operating.
That's right. Now, the person you just heard has ulterior motives for putting the blame on someone else. Either way, today I want to investigate Valve's role in Counter-Strike gambling. How we got here, what Valve can do about it, and how they've been fighting the change that is so desperately needed. So let's start from 2013, when loot boxes were first introduced to the game in an update Valve called the Arms Deal. It was first described as all the illicit thrills of black market weapons trafficking without any of the danger, which is kind of true. They did create a black market of skin betting. The only thing that I find false here is the quote, without any of the danger, because if you look at the wrong casino, this guy might show up at your house. Either way, the Arms Deal update was the start of Counter-Strike gambling as we know it, with the introduction specifically of loot boxes. We're gonna open one here so you can experience what that's like. First, you take out your wallet, pay $2.50, the case opens, and a wheel spins where items of varying rarity pass by. Knives and gloves are particularly valuable because they're particularly rare, but usually you get an item worth pennies. Now you might notice this whole process, especially the near misses, resembles a slot machine. I believe that's not an accident. This is the same company that hired experimental psychologists to design parts of their games.
So my name is Mike Amender. I'm an experimental psychologist at Valve, applying knowledge and methodologies from psychology to game design. So thinking about how knowledge of human behavior can impact the choices that we're making. The hope is that we can take what we know about psychology, about the predictable ways humans might react or respond, and apply it to game design and induce various responses or particular responses.
Right. Valve is a game studio that uses psychology to manipulate user behavior. And it's harmless in some areas when optimizing for fun or excitement. But when we look at loot boxes, what is Valve optimizing for? What behaviors are they trying to cause when they make their loot boxes look like a slot? And the answer, I believe, is they want you to just spend more money. And making a slot simulator has been incredibly effective for that. In total, some estimates are that 1.9 billion cases have been sold. At $2.50 per case, that's 4.9 billion for Valve, all spent on video game cosmetics. You can then trade these on the Steam store, which all gets Valve even more money because they take a cut. Last year alone, Counter-Strike made about $1 billion opening cases.
The skins update was a big change for the community, giving you something you can buy, something that you can customize your guns.
It's done where it doesn't necessarily impact gameplay, but it gives people this exciting element to keep coming back and keep playing to get more skins.
So you might be surprised to learn that although Valve designed a machine that looks like gambling, Valve actually insists that it's not. This is because of a loophole where technically Valve doesn't let you cash out your skins. You can sell them for money for your Steam wallet, but you can't convert that Steam wallet for cash. So the skins are technically worth nothing in the real world. They're just worth something in Steam's marketplace, meaning their slot machine of skins isn't gambling at all, or that's what they would say. The expected value is actually zero. And all that sounds great, except for the fact that obviously you can go to these third-party sites and get real money, real crypto. You can also go sell them on trading websites, which is also a huge part of this economy, where you can go sell your skins for cash. You never have to interface with the slot machine side of it. So this idea that skins aren't worth money is just, it's just not true. It's just that Valve isn't directly allowing cash outs, which is a loophole that allows people of all ages to open loot boxes, trade skins for money, all without showing ID. It's worth saying this loophole isn't new. It's the same thing pachinko parlors use in Japan, because there, gambling is illegal. But pachinko parlors are gambling, but technically not, because when you gamble, instead of winning cash, you win these small silver balls, which once again, you can't cash out in the parlor. You have to go to a third-party vendor.
それはなんで別にあるんですか。あ、そこでお金のやり取りしたら犯罪なんで、犯罪ってか、ギャンブルになっちゃうんで、景品をもらうって体で、景品をもらって、それを近くの換金所でお金に変えてるからセーフっていう認識です、一応。雨目をくぐってるみたいな。グレーって言ってました。
All reminiscent of exactly what Valve does too. You can't cash it out in the Steam store. You can only cash it out on third-party sites. It's just gambling with extra steps. However, one player of the game explained to me that even this is a pretty weak excuse.
Has anyone explained to you the Steam decks? So this right here, it's the maxed out version. I think it's like 650 spent in Steam funds. Now, how do you get Steam funds? You could put money on. You can sell stuff on the store. You can unbox a case, get a $1,000 knife, sell it, and then get this. So items don't have value. How do I buy this?
Yeah, he makes a good point. I think it's pointless to argue too long against these loopholes though, because there's millions of arguments, some used by Valve, other used by Counter-Strike casinos, for why gambling isn't gambling. You have Clash's sweepstakes loophole, hype drops, you never lose money loophole. You have CSGO Roll saying you can only cash out skins. Everyone in this story, from casinos to Valve, is using legal loopholes. So instead of trying to legal eagle all of them, I'm just appealing to your common sense. If it looks like gambling, mimics gambling, and the players say it's gambling, it's gambling. Now that we understand this, let's take a look at one of Valve's strangest positions they've ever had to take. See, back in 2016, when gambling sites hit mainstream news for scamming a bunch of their users and underage gambling, Valve looked really bad and said they were going to put a stop to Steam users who run a gambling business. To do this, they sent out several cease and desist letters, and some of those sites ceased, but others didn't. 8 years later, some of the same casino sites are still operating. Meanwhile, influencers are clearly still getting paid millions of dollars. Esports teams are still sponsored by many of these gambling businesses that Valve supposedly wants to shut down. This is where we come to a question. Why does Valve say they want to shut down gambling, but they fail to actually do it? Some will say they can't. Like, these offshore casinos are literally impossible to stop, but I don't buy that. This is the same company who will happily destroy parents in court who sue them for pushing gambling. Where's Valve's legal appetite to go after these offshore casinos? I don't know. It seems to me they could have banned this all a long time ago using any number of IP arguments, legal attacks, or simply software patches. Why they haven't is where we have to get into speculation. I have two thoughts as to why. Firstly, I believe it's good for Valve to be in an eternal fight against gambling. It's good optics. If you never defeat the evil offshore casinos, no one has to wonder why your loot boxes look so much like slot machines. We gotta defeat the evil offshore casino guys first, guys. In fact, this is the exact attitude they had in 2016.
It feels like Valve itself has specifically designed this game to operate almost exactly like a slot machine.
Even back then, Valve got a lot of heat for exactly the same things we're talking about now, but everyone felt that the casinos were doing worse things, so before we demand a change from Valve, everyone felt that we should address the casino problem first. And Valve was happy to play the hero and send those cease and desist letters out. So if you can always pass the buck to someone more shady than you and say you're working on it, it's easy to avoid problems at home. That's my first guess. But there's a second, maybe more insidious answer. Shutting down offshore gambling is just not a priority because it's not very profitable. It may even cost Valve money, even though they probably would deny this and say they don't have the data. You see, Valve may profit from these casinos indirectly. That is according to the journalist at People Makes Games. They made this argument better than I ever could, and I'm going to use a portion of their great documentary here.
We've got Steam over here and the betting sites over here on different websites, and both industries claim no relationship with the other. But to start with, the culture of skin betting is for many people a feature of Valve's games, as advertised by YouTubers and streamers and virally by your friends who are gambling. Valve is going to be acquiring more visibility and players for its games from anyone who finds this extra functionality appealing. A thought I heard from almost all of the gamblers I spoke to was that Valve can't shut down these casinos permanently because that would wreck the market value of skins, thereby hurting every player who owns any Valve skins. But to me, that just sounds like evidence that one big reason Valve skins are so valuable and why people want them so bad is Valve allowing the betting sites to exist.
Look, I'll be honest. I think he's right. Valve is indirectly profiting from these casinos. But it's not just one journalist's opinion. Even experts have concluded the same thing.
So in January of 2016, the Washington State Gambling Commission, and that's the top regulatory body in Washington State where Valve is headquartered, they received a complaint that prompted them to begin an investigation into Valve Corporation. 21 months later, when that investigation concluded, what they said was Valve, quote, knowingly facilitates the illegal wagering of skins, end quote. And the question, you know, that it really came down to for these regulators was, is Valve benefiting? In the opinion of the regulators, yes.
So this feels like a really big deal. Washington basically concluded what a lot of people have suspected, but why did nothing happen?
What the regulators told me is that the prosecutors didn't feel that they would be able to prosecute the case successfully. So they did not pursue a case. Now, that doesn't take away from the findings of the regulators who are the experts on this. It just means that a case was never taken to court.
Huh. So even though regulators found one thing, prosecutors have declined to pursue it. Now, of course, I did think all of this was pretty shocking. So of course, I wanted to ask Valve follow-up questions, but they didn't respond to my request for an interview or for comment. However, I did find interviews from about 8 years ago during the first scandal where Valve was asked very similar questions about whether they benefited from all this gambling. And the way they respond is kind of telling.
For Counter-Strike in particular, I'm curious, you feel like gambling has had a positive impact on the game at all? As you feel like it's grown interest in the game over the past few years that it's been available?
What's the question?
Has gambling led to greater interest in Counter-Strike?
Has it?
Yes.
We don't know. We don't have any data to support that.
Yeah, but
So I don't know.
Isn't that incredible? A company that nearly has all the data has no idea if a $1 billion gambling industry helps them. This is a company that hires literal economists to work on their video game economies. They say in those job descriptions, one thing we have at Valve is data, lots and lots of data. Yet on this one issue,
we don't have any data to support that.
And we're supposed to believe they've never conclusively found if gambling hurts or helps them? I find it hard to believe. Especially when in the same interview a little bit later, the CEO Gabe Newell claims data isn't really hard to get in Valve.
Right. If there's something I need to know, I can find out about it.
We don't have any data.
And information is pretty freely available inside of the company. There's, you know, it's just not hard to, if there's something you need to know, to find out about it. But there's no, you pull your information, there's no push towards you.
Right. Of course, it's not hard to find the information. These are the people who own Steam. They have all the information. So here's a fun rule for you to think about. Anytime a company with this much data tells you, we don't have the data, it means we don't like what the data says, or we don't want to know what the data says, so we've avoided looking. And by the way, Valve admits only moments later that the Counter-Strike player base goes up when Valve releases things that make the game, quote, a stickier experience.
That growth in the player base typically comes either after the game has been on sale or after we've added some features to the game that make the game a stickier experience.
Okay, we're getting somewhere. Growth happens when Valve makes their game a stickier experience. Now, I've got a follow-up. What's a stickier experience than a casino? It's so sticky, people have a problem stopping. You can't honestly say our player base grows with a stickier experience, and also, we have no data that gambling has grown interest in Counter-Strike, because those two sentences are not compatible. And oh, by the way, we've been fighting gambling for 8 years and we keep getting outsmarted by 20-something-year-olds in Curacao? Like, you're just not trying that hard then. But we've even got more evidence for their lack of effort here, because Valve will occasionally take action on casinos, most often when they've been pressured to do so by bad press. Just take the PGL Majors, which started this whole thing. It was a horrible look for Valve, directly caused by the casinos. The result of that was almost immediately an update released only days later that for the first time in a while actually did something. Basically, Valve made it so that when you traded something in Counter-Strike, it was hard to then gamble that item. Basically, they changed a way that items showed up in your inventory. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but it kind of messed up the way casinos were tracking items. Now, the end result of this is that casinos, along with skin traders in general, are slightly punished. Now, my point here is this patch could have been done at any time. The reason it happened a few days after the PGL Major was this disruption. This was a clear signal from Valve to the casinos. You stepped out of line, you caused trouble, we'll cause you trouble, right? I should note, the casinos are going to find workarounds to this, but there aren't infinite workarounds. It's obvious to everyone, including the casinos, that if Valve really wanted to shut them down, they could, since Valve ultimately controls the ecosystem by which everyone trades and tracks items. So if they wanted to definitively shut down the casinos, they could, but it just is going to require work. Work that Valve doesn't seem to have a huge appetite to do, maybe because it would impact other players, maybe because they just historically haven't done that work, unless they're forced to by press, governments, or the casinos themselves to do so. Now look, it might feel like I'm being a little harsh towards Valve here, or I'm putting a lot of the responsibility on them. And if it feels that way, it's because I am. I do think they need to be the ones to change for two reasons. One, no matter where you look in the chain of responsibility from influencers all the way to governments, everything points to them. Valve is easily the most equipped to solve things because they are a single stakeholder. Everywhere else you look, there's coordination problems. At the influencer level, if you don't take Gamba money, other influencers will. At the casino level, you want to be more regulated, your competitor doesn't. Even at the esports level, you don't take a gambling sponsorship, your competitor will. Even at the government level, if one country bans it, just take a VPN somewhere else where it's not banned. Not to mention, even when governments do ban it, and by the way, I think they should be part of the solution, but even when they do ban it, Valve can try to maliciously avoid regulation with new loopholes, which is not a hypothetical. They've literally done this. In France, for instance, where loot boxes that can be traded for money are banned, Valve updated their game just in France to put in what they call an X-ray scanner, where you can see the contents of your loot box before you open it, making the results technically not random. The catch is, though, you can't open another loot box until you pay to finish opening the one you've scanned. It's just a workaround the law to allow the same gambling, just legally, I guess. But it turns out this may have been a tactical mistake, because it kind of gave away the game Valve is playing. Because remember, they're trying to pretend not to be gambling, but this loophole they're using is literally a loophole slot machine companies use, where they will do what's called pre-reveal the result of a slot spin before you spin and say it's not gambling as well. In states like Missouri in America, this is how gambling companies were trying to avoid the gambling classification. Funnily enough, while learning about this loophole, I found this. Quote, the gambling companies don't like each other and will claim one company is breaking the rules while they apparently follow them. I'm getting flashbacks to this story as well. But the point is, if Valve is resorting to using gambling companies' loopholes, from the pachinko parlor loophole to the pre-spin loophole. What does that say about what they're selling? Even Valve's own users are realizing this. In a post about the French law where they dodged it with this pre-reveal, people are saying, quote, they seriously skirted the laws that stupidly easily. Sounds like Valve is using loopholes taken straight from casinos. So that's why I'm saying, yes, countries should regulate predatory loot boxes designed as slot machines. Yes, influencers shouldn't take dirty deals. Yes, casinos should in theory self-regulate. But if we're looking where to lay out a plan to fix Valve's underage gambling problem, it all comes back to Valve. No one else can unilaterally shut this down except for them. And at the same time, no one stands to make so much money from keeping it open and lying about what exactly these cases are, using the same arguments casinos have been making for decades as Valve. And that's why I'm being so harsh, because frankly, they deserve it. This isn't some indie video game studio that's struggling to survive. Valve is pound for pound one of the most profitable companies in the world, period. Not just because of gambling, in spite of it. With just Steam, they're already larger than most publicly traded gaming companies, affecting millions of people a day without gambling. So it isn't crazy to expect basic responsibility from a company who touches so many lives. Unfortunately, Valve is not only uniquely able to take action, they're also uniquely equipped to avoid it. They're privately owned, an international company, and are known for not responding to journalists in situations like this or reacting to the press in any way. So for my last argument, I'm not going to say a word. I'm just going to let Daddy Gabe do the talking in the hopes of inspiring some change at this megacorp. Here's Gabe's thoughts on Valve and their responsibility.
People at Valve have to get used to working without a safety net.
Yeah.
There's nothing between you and a customer. You can do something. You can come in that morning, and by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you have f***ed a million customers, right? And
they're all emailing you.
They're all me emailing you. And you probably should fix it, right? But nobody's looking over your shoulder. And for some people, that's liberating. For some people, it's terrifying.
Yeah. I really can't think of anything that better captures the Valve gambling story. You've screwed a million customers. You should probably fix it, but no one's looking over your shoulder. It has been 8 years since Valve set out to end these black market casinos built around their game. And still, the industry is alive and well. In fact, the harassment and threats in that industry are worse than ever. Meanwhile, Counter-Strike's own competitive players, influencers, and casinos all say there's an underage gambling problem, but Valve seems no closer to fixing that either. Maybe that's because the only way to fix it is to acknowledge that Counter-Strike's loot boxes are a little too close to slot machines. And look, I'm not even saying that if they want to go that route, they can't. But at least ID your customers, at least acknowledge what it actually is. Otherwise, you're just trying to have your cake and eat it too. You want gambling without any of the responsibility that comes with it. And we all know that that kind of cake is a lie. Look, I know this is a long shot, and maybe it's pointless. I look back 8 years and I see many of the same stories of victims, villains, and Valve with zero real change. But knowing the odds are slim hasn't stopped kids from getting addicted. So it's not going to stop me either. This is a gamble I'm willing to take.